Welcome to episode 179 of the new NIH Research Radio. The new NIH Research Radio is your source for weekly news and information about the ongoing medical research at the National Institutes of Health, NIH, turning discovery into health. I'm your host, Joe Belinfi, and coming up in this episode, our news summary at the end of the program includes items on Phase 1 trial results on a single-dose vaccine for dengue, a clinical trial beginning for treatment of a rare fatal neurological disorder, and a study showing H1N1 flu shots are safe for pregnant women. But first, our feature interview on prescription painkillers. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention classifies prescription drug abuse as an epidemic. There are roughly 100 people dying each day from drug overdoses, driven primarily by prescription drugs. The number of prescriptions filled for opioid pain relievers has increased dramatically in recent years. From 1997 to 2007, the use of prescription opioids in the U.S. has increased from 74 to 369 milligrams per person. That's an increase of 402%. In 2000, retail pharmacies dispensed 174 million prescriptions for opioids. By 2009, 257 million prescriptions were dispensed. That's an increase of 48%. Further, opioid overdoses, once almost always due to heroin use, are now increasingly due to abuse of prescription painkillers. Yet, opioid-based prescription painkillers do have an important role in helping manage pain. I'm here with Dr. Nora Volkov, the director of the NIH's National Institute on Drug Abuse, to discuss a new training opportunity for doctors, as well as information for patients and the public about the risks and benefits of prescription painkillers, including talking about those risks and benefits. First, Dr. Volkov, why is it important for doctors to talk with their patients about prescription painkiller use?
It's very important because many patients don't have a good understanding about what are potential adverse or beneficial effects of opioids. And as a result of that, to start with, some patients may upfront reject the use of an opioid medication that would be very helpful to them. And at the same time, there are other individuals that don't realize that when they are not used properly, opioid medications can result in addiction. And if taken at quantities outside those recommended, it actually can lead to overdoses. So it's extraordinarily important for a physician to be able to educate a patient that they are thinking to give opioid medications about what the medications can do and what to expect from them and how to take them. It's extraordinarily important.
Basically, to understand the risks and benefits associated with opioid medications, right?
Correct. And also to make it very clear how to take the medications, when to take them, how not to combine them with other medications, which is also one of the problems that elicits, particularly among elderly people, they have other diseases, and so they may be prescribed many medications, and it is important that they recognize that in some instances, some of these medications may, when combined, have untoward effects. So physicians need to be trained on also themselves on what is it that they need to ask and know about the patients they are going to be prescribing these very powerful pain medications.
Do doctors feel perhaps uncomfortable talking to their patients about use of prescription painkillers? And if so, why?
Well, I think that doctors are particularly feel uncomfortable asking about their patients on as it relates to abuse of substances, and that includes alcohol. And they are actually, many of them are intimidated to ask the questions, do you drink? Do you drink more than it's necessary? Have you ever been addicted to drugs? And that actually includes tobacco. And that's they feel less uncomfortable asking about tobacco, but they do feel uncomfortable asking about illicit substances because they are stigmatized. And yet it is very important for a doctor that's going to be prescribing opioids to ask these questions, because opioid medications have the potential to produce addiction in individuals that are vulnerable. And one of the pieces of information that you have regarding vulnerability for addiction is, have you had that problem before? Is there a history of addiction in your family? So if the doctor does not ask the question, he may be prescribing an opioid to someone with a high addiction vulnerability and not realize that.
How then can a doctor learn to ask? Is there training on this?
Well, unfortunately, there is very little that in medical schools that they learn about actually just even how to screen and treat pain properly. But there is even less education as it relates of how do you screen and even interview an individual regarding their substance abuse history. Also, there's very little education with respect to once you've prescribed these opioid medications, how do you really probe and question the patient to try to get information that would alert you that the patient may be using the medications inappropriately or that they may be transitioning into addictive behaviors? And you have to ask.
So now the Office of National Drug Control Policy and your National Institute on Drug Abuse have launched a new online learning tool, which includes videos. How can these help, Dr. Volkov?
Well, these are videos that portray two cases of individuals who are suffering from pain, for which the physician has prescribed an opioid medication, and they follow them through the treatment procedures. And as time progresses, you can start to see the different trajectories of both of these patients. And it shows how by inquiring in a non-judgmental way, the physician actually can elicit the information that can help the patient protect them against the transition into more serious addictive behaviors. And also in other instances, how they can understand that the patient indeed is taking the medication as prescribed, there's no problem with it, and when it will be time to terminate the use of the opioid medications.
These videos, along with the new online training materials, also provide an opportunity for healthcare professionals to earn continuing medical education or CME credits. Where can they find this training tool?
They are on Medscape, and if they enter through Medscape, they can get CME credits. They are also can get a link through our website at NIDA, but they won't get CME credits if they look at them through our website.
Do you know how many people have taken them so far?
Yeah, it's actually very impressive because we have had 20,000 individuals that have taken the course. At least 50 of them have been physicians, but there has also been other specialties that have taken the course, like, for example, nurses and pharmacists. And so it was very surprising to see these very high numbers, which, of course, in my brain, what it tells you is the tremendous need that there is for educational material as it relates to how to prescribe and monitor individuals that are being given opioid medications for their management of pain.
You mentioned nurses and pharmacists, Dr. Volkov, so this wouldn't just be for doctors taking the online course for credit. Why?
Because in many instances, the first interviewing is made by nurses, so it's not always physicians that are following up carefully the transition of patients. I mean, they may be seeing them at periodic times, and in other instances, it is the nurse that actually follows them through. It's also important even for a pharmacist or dentist who also prescribe these opioid medications to be aware how to ask a question regarding prior substance abuse without feeling intimidated. So by looking how others do it, it's actually one of the best ways of learning, observing how others do things in a way that does not intimidate the patient, but it's effective in generating the information that you need.
The National Institute on Drug Abuse is one of the 27 institutes and centers here at NIH. In what other ways does NIDA specifically reach healthcare providers?
Well, we have a large initiative in terms of how can we make health providers much more aware of the importance of substance use disorders in their patients. And so one of them is to educate healthcare providers about the relevance of substance use in terms of the outcomes for a wide variety of medical diseases, including fatal overdoses from the use of medications that they may be giving them to treat the disorder with drugs of abuse. So they need to ask the question. So we're generating what we call the Centers of Excellence. And the Centers of Excellence are grants that we gave to academic centers in order for them to develop curriculum that can be used to teach about substance use disorders in medical schools. And that way, physicians will be better prepared to screen their patients for substance use disorders and also to know how to intervene if, in fact, their patients may be taking drugs or starting to abuse them or addicted. So that's one of the ones. We've also generated material that would make it easier for physicians to screen for their patients. And one of the products is called NIDA Med, and there are several products within that NIDA Med that allows physicians to be able to screen patients and to follow them through. And actually, we've made that material available in mobiles, in tablets, so that the physician can use it while they're actually interviewing their patients.
Dr. Volkov, before we wrap up, is there something that you want to emphasize in this discussion about prescription painkillers?
Yeah, I think that one of the aspects and challenges in the management of chronic pain is the difficulty that doctors have to make with respect to the need of initiating an opioid medication and the potential negative effects that these medications have. And there are no these answers will come on a personalized basis because each patient is different. But it does highlight the responsibility that both the physician and the patient have to maintain a dialogue that will allow them to be able to optimize the beneficial effects of these really remarkable medications when used as needed, but also minimize the risk associated with their improper utilization.
Dr. Nora Volkov, director of the NIH's National Institute on Drug Abuse, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
For more information on prescription painkillers, including those training opportunities for healthcare providers, visit www.drugabuse.gov. And in just a minute, news headlines on results from a dengue vaccine trial, a clinical trial for treatment of a rare disease, and results on a flu vaccine study in pregnant women. That's next on NIH Research Radio.
It's your home, it's your dream. Rate on testing, keep it healthy and clean. Make it green, green, green.
Making it green is making sure the air in your home is healthy for your family to breathe. Make sure you test your home for the presence of radon. It's easy. To learn more, call 866-730-GREEN. Preserve your family's health and well-being. Get your home tested. Now that's living healthy and green.
Green. It's your home, it's your dream. Radon testing, keep it healthy and clean. Make it green, green, green.
To learn more, call 866-730-GREEN.
A message from the US EPA.
Now for some recent news headlines from NIH, here's Craig Fritz.
An experimental dengue vaccine developed by scientists at NIH has been found to be safe and to stimulate a strong immune response in most recipients. Dengue fever, prevalent in many tropical and subtropical regions of the world, is caused by any of four related viruses that are transmitted to humans by a type of mosquito. The World Health Organization estimates that every year, 50 to 100 million cases of dengue occur worldwide, resulting in 500,000 hospitalizations of patients with severe disease, many of them children. A clinical trial has begun to evaluate a drug as a possible treatment for a rare and fatal neurological disorder called Niemann-Pick disease type C1, or NPC. The clinical trial will be conducted at the NIH Clinical Center. No therapies approved by the FDA are available to treat NPC. The disease is characterized by the inability of cells to metabolize and dispose of cholesterol and lipids. It causes excessive amounts of cholesterol to accumulate within the liver, spleen, and brain. NPC leads to progressive impairment of motor and intellectual function in early childhood. In childhood onset cases, life expectancy does not normally exceed a patient's teenage years. Scientists at NIH and Norwegian Institute of Public Health have shown that pregnant women who received a vaccine against the 2009 H1N1 influenza virus showed no increased risk of pregnancy loss, while pregnant women who experienced influenza during pregnancy had an increased risk of miscarriages and stillbirths. The study suggests that influenza infection may increase the risk of fetal loss. The research was conducted following the H1N1 influenza pandemic that took place between the spring of 2009 and the fall of 2010. Norwegian public health officials had urged pregnant women to be vaccinated. However, media reports of pregnancy loss after flu shots caused some expectant mothers to forego vaccination. For this NIH News Update, I'm Craig Fritz.
You can get more information on these news items at www.nih.gov/news. And that's it for this episode of the new NIH Research Radio. Please join us again next Friday, that's February 1st, when our next edition will be available. Coming up in that episode.
Women should recognize that heart disease is the number one killer for women, and that heart disease is treatable, preventable, is something that we really want people to understand and take action.
In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments about this program or have a story suggestion for a future episode, please let me know. Send an email to nihradio@mail.nih.gov. Also, please consider following NIH Radio via Twitter @NIH Radio or on Facebook. Until next week, I'm your host, Joe Belinfi. Thanks for listening.
NIH Research Radio is a presentation of the NIH Radio News Service, part of the News Media Branch, Office of Communications and Public Liaison, in the Office of the Director at the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, an agency of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.